Dr. Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in that matchless and wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Beloved, he's the only one that can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. He's the only one who can satisfy the thirst of the human spirit. He offers the bread of life, the water of life, that which alone can satisfy the hunger and thirst and fill that emptiness within the life of every individual who is in the darkness of sin, separated from Almighty God, who is the source of life eternal. Oh, beloved, it's wonderful to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, to accept the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he lives forevermore, that he has the keys of death and hell, that he is Lord of all. And, beloved, it's wonderful to know him personally, to belong to him and to communicate with him every day, over and over again throughout the day, to fellowship with him, to communicate with him, because he indwells us through the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9 tells us. And so, beloved, you can talk to him anytime, anywhere. You can cry out to him, you can worship him, you can revel in him, you can rejoice in him, and so can I. And, beloved, I do so every day. I talk to him many times through the day. Yes, I have a special time when I get aside from everything else and close myself away from the world in order to come to him and to seek his guidance and his leadership every day, because I need his help. I need him to guide me. I need him to direct me. And of course, it's a battle with the old flesh, because the flesh, this old fleshly body that I live in, has indwelling sin and does not want to spend time communicating with my Father. But it is essential that I bring this old body into subjection to the obedience of Christ, and that I walk in fellowship and communion with him. Oh, beloved, it's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to fellowship and to visit with him. And so we've been discussing about this matter of temptation, which every one of us is confronted with, and which every one of us knows about. And the last time we talked about the method of temptation, and how that Satan uses the world system, the flesh with indwelling sin, and uses his own demons to try to lead us contrary to the will and purpose and plan of God for our life. And so we're beginning today in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. If you have a Bible or a New Testament, turn with us to 1 John. It's right in front of the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation, and some little short books, and one of them is 1 John. And here we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. We've already discussed 1 John 2, 15 through 17, where it talks about the world system. But here in 1 John chapter 5 now, in verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you'll just look over to 1 John chapter 2 again and verse 15 through 17, the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And, beloved, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And remember, it's God's will that none perish, but that all come to repentance. We've already read previously in 1 Peter that the Lord's not willing that any should perish. And Paul wrote to Timothy that the will of God is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, beloved, that's God's will for you, that if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would open your heart to Him and accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." This is God's will, beloved. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And whosoever will may come. But the sad truth of the matter is, many choose not to come. Many choose not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are loving the world and the things that are in the world, rather than loving Almighty God. And so they're deceived and they're bound by their sinful appetites and their sinful habits. And they're under the control and dominion of sin, blinded by the god of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them and they should be saved, as we're told over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so, beloved, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So overcome the world. And how, beloved? Verse 4 of 1 John 5, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." You see, beloved, it's through being born again into the family of God. It's through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that we can have victory over the world system, and over the flesh, and over Satan and his demons. Our victory, beloved, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who conquered and overcomes Satan. He died on that old rugged cross for you and for me. He took our place. He became our substitute. Beloved, he didn't just die, but he arose victor over death, over Satan, over hell, over the grave. He arose and he lives today. And beloved, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we die to sin and we become alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wherein our overcoming power comes, through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Christ living in us. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Oh, I'm reminded of a song. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. It's through faith, beloved, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in believing the Word of God and acting upon the instructions of God's Word. That's why God's Word is so essential. That's why it is so important in the life of the believer. As a matter of fact, that's why we're told here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Beloved, we're in a battle. We're in a battle against the principalities, powers of darkness, forces of evil, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, Satan and his demons. Notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." People are not our enemy, beloved, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, in high places, or in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, beloved. We're in a battle, and that's why we need to clothe ourselves with the whole armor of God. Verse 13 through verse 16. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Remember, Paul, when he's writing this, is chained to a Roman soldier. He's in prison in Rome, and he was given a house to live in, but a Roman soldier was with him at all times, and Paul was chained to that Roman soldier. And so as Paul is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he looks at the Roman soldier. He sees the armor and the dress of the Roman soldier. And so he uses that as an illustration to the Christian armor, the spiritual armor that we as believers are to be clothed with. And he says one of the things we're to be clothed with is our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the Roman soldier wore sandals that had cleats on the bottom. And those cleats would dig into the ground or to the rock wherever he stood and would enable him to stand. And so this is what we're told here in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's the armor that will enable us to stand, to not yield to the enemy, to not surrender to the wicked one, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that word wrestling has to do with a term that was very well known in the days when Paul wrote these words, because of wrestling with others. The job or the purpose of a wrestling match is to pin the other person down. And beloved, that's what Satan wants to do with you. That's what he wants to do with me. He wants to pin us down under sinful habits, under sinful desires. He wants our flesh to overwhelm us spiritually and to pin us down, to listen to his evil appetites, to listen to his evil cravings that he stirs up in our old flesh where there's indwelling sin, and to get us to walk after the flesh rather than after the Spirit, as we're admonished in Romans chapter 7 and 8. Till next time. Goodbye.